How does anybody not like schnitzel? It's like meat pounded out, breaded, and fried.
Yeah, I don't know if I could identify schnitzel if you put it in front of me.
Oh, it is. You,
and by
you
the way, Morales does, Morales does this
like,
a lot. That was the lie of the day yesterday.
So he just liked the schnitzel part of it. It didn't matter whether that was the lie of the day. It was the schnitzel.
So I don't even know what schnitzel is.
So right off the top of the show, I want to let everybody know we got a pair of tickets to see the undefeated Rams host Kyler Murray and the undefeated Cardinals Sunday at SoFi Stadium if you can identify today's lie of the day.
Really?
And it is going to be my lie.
Really? So there's – wow, and that's a decent prize.
And as Juan always says, he thinks I'm an excellent liar.
There you go.
Which I don't think is a
I don't know
nice
if you want
to
hear
say.
That from your partner, by the
no.
way.
I don't think so either. So today, Lakers Media. Normally, we get to go to Lakers Media Day. This year, because of timing and all that stuff, it was Sliwa and Travis, and I thought they did a nice job. Did you listen to Media Day?
I did not. I watched it on Spectrum.
It was these guys did a good job. They did a really, really good job, so congrats to them. I like Media Day. I like being there. I like being in the middle of stuff. Did you miss Media Day?
No, I mean, I'm with those guys all year, so I was okay not being there.
Yeah, I always think that's my one real brush with LeBron James is Media Day.
Well, it's the one time of year we're guaranteed to get him. Michael and I get him after games sometimes.
That's true.
I don't think he's ever done the show. Like, Kobe used to do the show outside of Media Day.
I don't think
LeBron really does that.
Yeah, you know, I love LeBron for this reason, for Media Day. I think it was 2 years ago. You know, my mom lived in Cleveland for a long time, and she was a huge LeBron fan. Then she moved to Palm Springs or Palm Desert, and she became a Lakers fan because of LeBron. And LeBron, I got to give my mom a shout-out 2 years ago, and he couldn't have been a better sport about it. He said, "Hi, Donna, thanks for being a fan." I thought that was, like, the coolest thing that LeBron did, that he played along and went along with the gag.
All right, so here's my – and LeBron's very good with that stuff. But here is my biggest takeaway from Media Day.
Okay.
I remember when you started watching The Sopranos.
Yes.
And I had already seen it.
Yeah.
And I was jealous of you that you were getting to go through it for the first time because I knew how good it was.
Right.
It's the same thing with the play Spamalot, which you still haven't seen, right?
Yeah, I've seen. I thought it was okay. I didn't love Spamalot.
Yeah, so I loved Spamalot. So I thought it was really, really fun. The guys from South Park wrote this really funny play. So
you're thinking of Book of Mormon, by the way.
Oh, I am. No, you're right. But I am thinking of Book of Mormon. So it's Book of Mormon is the one that I get excited for. Is Book of Mormon the one you haven't seen?
Yeah, that's the one I haven't seen.
Yeah, you would love it. It's right up your alley.
Yeah.
So anyway, for stuff like that I know is coming, but my friends or the people that I'm with don't know, and I get a little jealous of what they're about to experience because I've already experienced it, that's how I feel about Westbrook. You're not sure it's going to work. Travis is really down on Westbrook.
Yeah.
You have questions about Westbrook. I know it's going to work because I've followed his whole career, and I just know how hard the guy plays and how much fun it's going to be to watch him. And I'm excited for you guys that you're going to find out what I already know. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, you know, we've all seen Westbrook play. You've seen him, you know, in the building and all that stuff. I've seen him a couple of times in person.
Yeah, I've been watching him since he was at UCLA.
But I still don't think you necessarily know how the movie plays out. I mean, Westbrook, we know what that movie looks like, right? As you like to say in a promo I just heard, 100 miles an hour, human video game, hair on fire, all that stuff. He plays really hard. To me... It's how the pieces fit together. And I don't know what this movie looks like. You think you know what it looks like already?
Well, here's my worry.
I've seen the trailer. I just don't know if the movie's going to be great.
My only concern is when you have an older team, injuries play into it.
Yes.
So, and you can't complain about them when you get them if your team is older. And so if they can avoid injuries, I think they're going to the finals. And I think they're going to be really hard to beat. Because I think they all seem like they're on a mission. And I know that they've got the right guy with the ball in Westbrook.
Yep.
I think LeBron is genuinely excited because he knows he's at the end of his career and he's got a legitimate chance to win one or more titles. And Anthony Davis is mad about the way the season ended last year.
Right.
So you got these three guys on a mission, and then these other guys just need to fill their roles. And, you know, I've just seen this before, and I see what it could be. I just hope everybody stays healthy.
Right.
But that's true with any team. And, you know, the other thing that I thought about is there were a lot of questions today. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. This vaccination story is not going away in the NBA.
Right.
And when these Laker guys were asked about it today, every one of them mentioned that they kind of they're doing a lot of things for each other.
Right.
And I started thinking about Kyrie Irving. Like, think how bad he's screwing his teammates.
Yep.
I mean, regardless, and I think Kyrie is a wonderful player. I think he's an unbelievable player. Well, best maybe Michael thinks he's the best one-on-one player in the league. But now all of his teammates have to answer questions about him. He's not going to be there. There's a chance he won't be able to play in the home games.
More than a chance. Unless he gets a shot, he's not going to be able.
Well,
to
he might
get
a
games.
Shot. You know, I think the Nets are hoping he. And same thing with Andrew Wiggins at Golden State. They're both hoping that he comes around to the position that they need him and that he gets a shot. But in the meantime, that's the story. You can't talk about the Nets without talking about Kyrie and vaccination. You can't talk about the Warriors, even though the story should be Steph coming off a near MVP year, Klay Thompson coming back. Will they be back in the playoff mix? The biggest story surrounding the Warriors yesterday was Andrew Wiggins, who's making $31 million a year, and he won't be able to play or practice with the team.
But the reality is what happened today is that the Lakers, I forget if it was Rob or who it was, Frank, one of these guys indicated that the Lakers will be fully vaccinated.
No,
by
AD
the start of the
said
season.
It. Anthony Davis
oh, AD
said
did.
It.
There you go.
Yeah, he said that our whole team's vaccinated. So we're
I mean, if you want to win, you get your shots. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Hey, I wanted to get to something, LeBron, and we've got all kinds of sound we want to play back from Media Day. There's a lot of good stuff. Sliwa and Travis did a really good job. So this is one of the things that I think is important in the scheme of who LeBron James is. He talked today about his love for the game still being there.
I mean, it's still burning inside me. You know, the love of the sport, the competitive side. You know, also, I'm going to be honest, having, you know, a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old who plays the sport as well and get to be with them every summer and seeing them competing. Seeing them getting angry when they make mistakes, seeing they getting excited when they do something great with their teammates, you know, that get me back going again. I'm like, I can't wait till the fall. I can't wait till it's time for me to get back out there. So, you know, they definitely do a great job of keeping me going too, but I'm just self-motivated. You know, I get up every single day early to prepare for this, prepare for what's to come, and, you know, that's what it's about.
You know, I saw a video clip this week of LeBron James and his insane – workout, or at least some of his insane workout. And you know what those balance balls are, right? Those
he uses them all the time.
Right. So what he does is he kneels on the balance ball and then does his weight work while engaging his core on that balance ball. I mean, he works so hard. And I really think that the idea that you're still burning, he used that word burning, his love, his desire for the game is still burning, is really, really important. I think a lot of guys tail off. At some point in guys' careers, and we don't have to name names, I think it becomes sort of something that you do because you're collecting checks and all that stuff, but you're not necessarily burning. LeBron James still burning with desire to play this game at the age of 37, his 19th season. His 19th season, and he is still as intense and as locked in as he is now.
Not only that, but I was thinking about something happened over the weekend. I know you didn't watch a lot of the Ryder Cup, but
no, I didn't watch any of it.
It was interesting. After it became clear the Americans were going to win it. Rory McIlroy is one of the three best players on the European team. They were interviewing. He won his singles match on Sunday. So he comes off the green and they're interviewing him and he starts crying.
Right.
And it surprised the interviewer. And he said, "Why are you so emotional about this?" And he said, "Well, I got to tell you," he said, "I've never cried over any individual golf tournament."
Right.
He goes, But when you get on a team like this and you realize the opportunity you have and then you don't cash it in, he said, it's just devastating. He goes, this will be the last time I'm with all these guys. I'll be back in more Ryder Cups, but a lot of these guys won't.
Sure.
And I let them all down. So I think everything you just said plays into the other guys.
Right.
In other words, LeBron, they see this. They see that LeBron is literally getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and kneeling on a balance ball and lifting weights, and he's doing it every day. And I think these other guys are looking at that going, man, we can't not cash this in.
Right.
Carmelo Anthony has never even been to the finals. Russell Westbrook went once, had a monster game in his finals, but they lost, and he never went back. I think they know what they're looking at here, because I guess this is a long way of me saying everything you just said is contagious.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
I think other people have it.
On top of that, LeBron talked today about the inspiration he gets from other athletes.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, Brady is definitely one of my inspirations. You know, and just seeing what he's able to do. You know, year 22. You know, at 40 plus, Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, Messi. You know, guys has been doing it for quite a long time and still at the top of their craft. So, you know, I definitely look for those guys and see what they're doing, seeing how they're in the pitch or on the football field. You know, and just gathering more information and more inspiration and everything from those guys, because, I mean, we've been doing it for so long, but we're still, you know, at the top of what we do. So, you know, it's just very humbling to be able to have, you know, guys like that to be able to look at.
Brady is the outlier, right? Brady just, you know, 7 Super Bowls, all that stuff. But has there ever been a professional athlete who has had a peak as long as LeBron?
Maybe Kareem.
Peak. Yeah.
Kareem was winning titles and still an elite player, well into his late 30s, early 40s. But LeBron would have probably won the MVP last year, Mace, if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
He was the leading MVP guy, and then Jokic ended up winning it.
Yeah.
But LeBron, now I don't know if he'll have a chance to win it this year because now they're adding another superstar.
Sure.
But I wouldn't bet against him. I think these guys all have a mindset that, hey, whatever it takes, we're just going to storm through this schedule. And I think the Lakers have a chance to win 60 games. I really do.
So you think 60 games is the
target?
I think
they have a chance.
I think the over-under is 55,
right.
55 and a half.
Well, it all comes down to two things, injury and how good is the rest of the West? In other words, is Phoenix going to be back to what they were last year? Is Golden State back in the playoff picture? What does Denver look like? You know, I was reading the other day that there's a rumor that Philadelphia wants to trade Ben Simmons to Denver for Jamal Murray. I don't think that's a good trade for Denver.
Terrible trade for Denver. I don't want any part of Ben Simmons.
I think that Jamal Murray, if he comes back healthy off that injury and you're adding Michael Porter Jr. and now you have an MVP in Jokic, I'd rather have any of those three than Simmons. But, you know, let's see. What, you know, is Denver? I thought Denver was going to be Utah last year. Is Utah, who was the number one seed,
yeah,
are they coming back?
By the way, Lakers, I misstated, their over-under is 52.5. And you mentioned the Nuggets. They're at 47.5.
Yeah, so
maybe I think
60
the Lakers
might
have the highest number.
Yeah, 60 might be a little overly optimistic, but I just think they're going to roll people.
Yeah, the Nets are at 56.5. The Bucks are at 54.5, and the Lakers are 52.5.
Well, I think that reflects that the Bucks and Nets play in the East.
In the Eastern,
and the Lakers are going to have a harder schedule because, you know, remember, we're going back to an 82-game schedule. That means the Lakers will play all the teams in their conference 4 times and the teams in the other conference twice.
Yes.
There's a handful that you only play 3 in your conference just to make the numbers meet. But for the most part, you play all the teams in your conference 4 times. That means they have a harder schedule than Brooklyn or Milwaukee.
Sure. Sure.
So maybe not 60, but and again, if one of the big three goes down, then it skews all these numbers. So last year, I thought they were a little unlucky, particularly with the Anthony Davis injury in the playoffs. When they went up 2-1 on Phoenix, I thought they have this series.
Yep.
And then AD gets hurt and it's over.
Sure.
So that's what you got to look out for.
Yep. All right. Coming up, I want to throw this out there. So Lakers media day today. We heard from everybody, including Russ and LeBron and AD and down the line. What is your biggest concern for this team? What is your biggest concern? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. We will work in some of your calls. You can also tweet the show at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A, Ireland. And you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Always taken and responded to as many emails as I possibly can. Get some of your phone calls. Plus, Ireland last night proposed a fantasy football trade to me.
Well, we should say that you're in deep trouble now. The one eyebrow thing is a real possibility. We'll explain why coming up.
All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so Lakers media today. It was fun. A lot of great information. Sliwa and Travis did a good job. We're going to continue to bring that to you throughout the show today, and we'll do all the rest of the stuff too. So my fantasy football team is off to what I would call a slow start.
No, you're in deep grease now. Here, the Hollywood Football League, which Mason and I have been a part of for years and years, like 20 years. Mason, his nickname in our league is Last Place Mace.
Yes, yes.
He has finished last 4 out of the last 5 years, including the last 2 in a row. So in an attempt to motivate himself, he said, this year, if I finish last, I will shave off one of eyebrows.
Just one eyebrow. I mean,
one brow, man.
I've got two. Why not shave off one?
Yeah. So we've played 3 games.
Yeah.
We 12-team league. Right now, Mason is dead last. He is 0-3. There is only one other 0-3 team in the league. So, but Mason has scored the fewest amount of points as anybody in the whole league. By comparison, I'm in second place. I'm 3-0.
Right.
I've scored 215 points this season. Mm-hmm. Mason, you've scored 159.
So is that over half of you?
No. But still, that's how far behind you are.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not as far behind as I thought.
You are. You're as far behind as you could possibly be.
One brown man.
And I need to, before I go through with this, I need to consult with Jorge and Bergman.
Okay.
Feeling sorry for you and seeing where this was all heading, I offer you to trade last night that I think could possibly save your season. I offered to trade you Derek Carr. He's my backup quarterback, but he's having an MVP season. You have a lot of receivers.
I do. I have a bunch of receivers.
So I offered to trade him for Terry McLaurin straight up to give you a fighting chance, because you, for some reason, have put all your eggs in the Jalen Hurts basket. And as we saw last night on Monday Night Football, that's a bad team. That's a really bad team. They're going to get Jalen Hurts killed. They don't block for him. He's running for his life. He did throw you an after-the-fact TD pass that was kind of lucky.
Did score 19 points.
But I think that
don't buzz me. That's
is
what
eventually
he scored.
Going to kill you. But now to Jorge and to Greg. Do I want to help Mason?
No.
Isn't the bit better if he has to shave the eyebrows?
Way better.
Thank you.
Way better.
Thank you, John. I'm glad that you're coming to this realization before you actually make the bet on the air. Because, yes, him having one eyebrow is way better than anything else that could happen. One brow man.
One brow man.
But I'm like the only, to be honest, I'm the only guy in the league that Mason knows.
Like, true. That is actually true. I know you and I know Lenny, our commissioner.
Yeah, and Lenny is the other 0-3 team.
Yes.
So he's at... Like, I'm really your only. You could, like, like go into the open market, but all these guys would try and fleece you. This trade, Greg, you would agree, slightly favors Mason.
Not even slightly. It majorly favors Mason. Mason would have a much better team doing this. Yes,
right.
It's a much better deal.
I'm aware of that, and I felt sorry for him, but then
no, stop.
I slept on it, and now I'm thinking I should repeal the trade offer.
Absolutely not. We need one brow man.
So I went to an expert. I texted Matthew Berry.
Okay. Oh, he loves Jalen Hurts.
And I said, question, I can trade for Derek Carr or I have Jalen Hurts. Are you still high on Hurts? He says, no on Carr, yes on Hurts. Hurts was brutal last night, still got 20 points. So the trade is not interesting to me.
Well, there we go. We're on the same page.
We're on the same page.
Now, if you go to 0-4, I'm always open for business. I have a reputation already. I will trade anybody at any time.
I am loaded with receivers. I mean, I've got more receivers than I can possibly use. So
yeah.
if you reconfigure a trade, I would probably do it.
I don't know why I'm even messing with my team. I'm one of only 2-3-0 teams. I got very lucky last night.
Long season, John. Very long season.
C.D. Lamb literally fell down on the 1-foot line.
I know. C.D. Lamb, God, he was so close.
If he goes in, I lose last night.
Would you have lost in that?
Oh, yeah. I won 60-55, and he had C.D. Lamb.
Oh, God, that's a brutal way to lose. He was so close.
And then Ezekiel Elliott, who was playing against you. Okay, so no deal.
No deal.
You wouldn't even do the deal if I extended the trade out to you. Because, Bergman, you agree with me. That's a trade that Mason, his team be much better if he
yes.
did that.
Yes. Did you actually go to Matthew Berry and say that you were trading 100%. For Terry McLaurin straight up?
Yeah, I texted him.
You said the whole thing, the whole deal.
Oh, he said the trade would be good, but I would still start Jalen Hurts.
Gotcha. Really?
Yeah. So I think Jalen Hurts is going to take you straight to one eyebrow.
I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a monster year based on what Matthew Berry says.
I think Matthew.
What does he know?
Well, but he agreed the trade would be good for you because it would give you more options.
He said you would win the trade, but you would still start Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
So why make the trade?
Okay. We can revisit it down the road.
Yeah. No, I'm in the market for a running back and not for a receiver. I'm not happy with my second running back. All right, so the potential Mason and Ireland fantasy football trade, dead. It wasn't offered and it wasn't accepted.
Yeah, we're kind of like we're like Dennis Schroeder. Now, you know, Dennis Schroeder is saying the Lakers never – here's what Dennis Schroeder said at Celtics Media Day. Yeah, the Lakers never offered me that deal formally, but I turned it down.
That is ridiculous.
Well, both things can't be true, Dennis. They either did offer it to you and you turned it down or they never offered it to you. But you can't have it both ways. So I think the Lakers approached him with an idea of an extension and he shot it down and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, I feel some level of sympathy for Dennis Schroeder.
I don't.
Well, I mean, it's good for us. It worked for us.
Yeah.
I wanted no part of Schroeder. After we got to see him a little bit, they offered the deal something like in February. So it was before the shine came off Dennis, before we knew he was going to miss a couple of stretches, before we knew he was going to go scoreless in that final game, before we knew all that stuff. Thank God he didn't accept the deal. Sometimes the deals that don't get accepted are the ones that are best for you, and that was the case with that one. Our new point guard, Russell Westbrook, was a media day today, and you know what he said is the top priority, John?
I didn't hear this. I could guess.
What do you think he says is the top priority?
Make the other guys better.
Okay. Here's Russell Westbrook.
Having fun. I think that's the most important part about this game. People fail to realize is you get focused and caught up on all the wrong things, but going out and having fun. Got a group of guys that's been in the league a long time that understands and values having fun and the relationship of brotherhood. And I think that's, to me, the most important thing, kind of what I'm looking forward to going into this season.
Having fun.
So, you know, Westbrook led the NBA in assists last year.
Yeah.
You know who led the NBA in assists 2 years ago?
Probably LeBron.
Yep. So they've got the guys on the guy that led each of the last 2 years. And LeBron said something interesting today. He said that when he went to Miami,
yep,
he's hearing all the same things now that he heard then, that they said him and Dwayne Wade are too ball dominant. Chris Bosh is going to get lost in the shuffle. And they went to the finals all 4 years he was in Miami. So I think LeBron knows how to make this compromise work. And I think he's going to be the driving force behind it. But I don't know how you defend this team.
By the way, career active assists leaders. Number one is CP3. Number two is LeBron. Number three is Russ. You want to know who number four is?
Is it Rondo?
It's Rondo.
Yeah.
We've got number two, three, and four on the career active assists list.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if I'm one of these shooters, if I'm Wayne Ellington or Carmelo Anthony or
Loving
Kendrick
that. Man,
I started doing homework today for the game on Sunday.
Okay.
So here's something I didn't know. So Carmelo, who's been in the league forever, last year shot a career high 41% from three and a career high 89% from the free throw line.
Whew.
And I think that's partly because he's no longer the focus of the other team's defense.
Right.
They're just leaving him there. And you have to do that with this team. You have to just leave him. You can't double team Carmelo when LeBron and AD and Russ are out there. So he's going to have some wide open shots. And if you foul him, he shoots 90% from the free throw line. So yeah. I think he could be sneaky good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, we are going to spin the wheel of questions. Don't forget, at some point today, I will tell a lie. If you can identify it, you can win a pair of tickets to see the undefeated Rams at SoFi versus Arizona on Sunday. That is the big game of the week. So be listening for me to lie. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it is time to spin the wheel of questions. It is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, it is time to spin the wheel. Jorge, hit it.
I'm not sure the answer to this, but I'll throw it out there.
All right.
What if you could get a lifetime supply of any food in the world? What would you choose?
Lifetime supply.
So one item that you would never have to pay for the rest of your life. One food item, but you can only pick one.
And it doesn't go bad.
Nope, doesn't go bad, and you would have an unlimited supply of it. In other words, like
supply.
Anytime you wanted it, it would be delivered to your house, and you would assume it would be good.
Snap your fingers, I got some sushi.
You would go sushi?
Really? I'd go sushi, yeah.
But you'd have to eat the same sushi.
Oh, it has to be the same type?
Yeah, same
every
item.
Time?
Same item.
Same item.
So you got to have spicy tuna roll nonstop.
Oh, no, it'd be spicy albacore, but which is basically tuna.
I think a lot of people would pick sushi. I think I never...
Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
I never, ever... get tired of eating pork chops. I could eat them every day. I think I would probably go that way because you can prepare them differently and you can cook them differently. I think I would go pork chops, although a lifetime supply of chips and salsa would get a lot of use.
Ooh.
But it's only one item. It's either a chip or the salsa.
It's either chip or salsa.
Well, I could I could buy the other one.
Okay. Now, if you can buy the other one, then yeah, give me all the sushi and I'll go buy the other sushi I want.
Yeah.
Chips and guac, for sure.
Chips right. And guac?
Wait, what do you want? Are you taking the chips or the guac for
No,
free?
I'm taking a, no, but I'll take a lifetime supply of ceviche. I can't. I love ceviche.
I'm going to go off the board. So the obvious ones are donuts, which I can live on.
Popeye's chicken sandwiches?
and Popeye's chicken, spicy chicken sandwiches. Those are the two obvious ones. But I'm going to go less obvious. My mom makes the best, bar none, chicken cacciatore. I love chicken cacciatore.
Well, the question is, could you eat it every day?
I could eat chicken cacciatore every day.
Like, remember Wade Boggs, the Red Sox third baseman?
Yes.
He eats chicken every single day.
Correct. He eats a different way. No, I think he eats fried chicken. He ate fried chicken, right?
Yeah, well, he eats some form of chicken every single day.
Yeah, chicken cacciatore would be my choice, which is big, juicy pieces of chicken and tomato sauce and peppers and onions and then poured over pasta. That's the dish. So mine would be chicken cacciatore.
What if the question was you could have an unlimited lifetime supply of any drink? Jorge, you going Don Julio, 1942?
Oh, man, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll take that one. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, that's expensive.
It is expensive.
What about you? You'd go brown water, right?
Yeah, I'd go Johnny Walker. Is it Johnny Walker Blue is the one that's hard? Or is it Johnny Walker Black?
No. Black is it goes like red, black, green, blue.
Yeah, blue's the one that they age for like 25 years and
barrels and all that.
That's the good Johnny Walker. I'd go close. I would do Lagavulin and be very, very happy.
Well, as you know, I consider bourbon and whiskey to be brown water. I consider tequila to be strong water. I've lost my taste for alcohol. Like Jorge, tonight we're going to the Dodger game.
Yeah, so what will you get? What will you get at the Dodger game? What will you eat? What will you drink?
I will get, as Jorge knows, my standard Dodgers order is helmet nachos and a Diet Coke. Helmet nachos and a Diet Coke. I refuse to eat those Dodger dogs.
I'll have a couple of those today.
You have a couple Dodger dogs?
Yeah.
So you have to get some form of ice cream. You either have to get the mini helmet sundae or the Kulikoo.
Yeah, the Kulikoo's really good. And you're we're also bringing tonight Carlo Ferrer, who won a trip to a local baseball game with us. So it'll be Jorge, Bergie, my friend Sue Kalinske, my podcast partner, and then Carlo Ferrer and a guest tonight. And it's Julio Urias bobblehead night.
You were saying off the air that you want to get there early enough to get the bobblehead. I think in order to do that, it's a 7 o'clock first pitch.
Yeah, 7 o'clock first pitch.
Man, in all seriousness, I would get there between 6:15 and 6:30.
You would get there Jorge, do you have to get there that early to get the bobblehead?
Yeah, you do.
You have to get there at 6:15.
Yeah,
because
they run out. They run out by 6:45.
I'll say this: I'll put $5,000 mythical money that Mason doesn't make it there on time.
Okay.
In order to
switch your odds, just say that Mason doesn't get there in time to get a bobblehead.
Right, right. Okay, let's do that.
Okay. So 5,000, and you won last night.
And
too,
I did win last night.
I think I lost last night.
Yeah, you did lose. You put money on the Eagles.
Yeah, the terrible Eagles.
I just wanted some action. You know, last night I watched the entire game on the Manning cast.
I did too.
Watched Eli and Peyton.
I'll tell you what. I think they're changing the way football is going to get broadcast. You know, somebody sent me a note, Mason, and they're right. You and I should do a football game, maybe a Rams away game.
I have suggested
on Twitch.
This. I have suggested I want to do a mega cast. We can include Michael Thompson. We can include Bergie. We can have guests.
And we can do it just like Peyton and Eli.
We
could do it just like Peyton and Eli. But the problem is, how do we get the game onto the big screen like Peyton and Eli do?
Well, I don't think it would be legal to do it. I think we'd have to say, all right, put this game on, and we're going to talk our way through it.
Right, so they would just have us on a laptop.
On a laptop while the game is on.
Okay.
I'll tell you, last night, LeBron was on there last night, and Matthew Stafford was on there
last night. Michael would do it for sure if he could figure out how to run a Zoom account.
Oh, that's a great story, actually. Do you remember when the Cams used to do the late-night happy hour?
Yes.
They tried to have Michael on one time, and he couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
So for the first 15 minutes, he's, like, putting his camera, he's, like, trying to turn it around. It was just a magical time.
I tried to do Andy and Brian's show from my jacuzzi.
Yep.
And for the first 15 minutes, all you saw was my dog because I couldn't set the camera up right. But then we finally figured it out.
Whatever happened to them?
They're running a Locked On Lakers podcast now.
Oh, are they really?
They're
I
part
didn't
of my guy
that.
David Locke's broadcast.
Huge fan of the Kamenetsky brothers. I don't know why they got fired.
Nobody
gets fired. Stop
actually.
It.
Well, but what happened?
The dumb
they're
rule.
They're not here anymore. I
well,
assume.
The dumb rule is that once apparently there's some archaic rule that once they let you go, we can't even bring you back as a pinch hitter for a year.
It's terrible.
Greg, you know that rule, right?
Yeah, there's a certain amount of time frame in between.
We'll look into see if that time has elapsed. I'd like to bring those guys back.
Yeah, I'd like to have them back. By the way, Momo has been texting me nonstop that, and she's been texting me all these terrible things that have happened to her. And she says it's because Mercury is in retrograde.
She believes that.
And I think that is the biggest load of crap.
I do too.
Somebody will win the lottery today. Mm-hmm. Well, now, was Mercury in retrograde for them? Walker Buehler will throw a great game tonight. Was Mercury in retrograde for him?
And if he doesn't, why wasn't it in retrograde for the other
guy? For people? The other guy, exactly. I just think that's such a load of hooey. Now, I will say I had a terrible nightmare last night.
About what?
I will tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Wallace, your tickets are at will call. Good luck. Snake.
My right, favorite will call story of all time.
Yep.
Gary, the great Gary Vitti used to be in charge of if you left tickets for somebody for years in the traveling party, you would write them on a list, and Vitti would grab the list and give it to one of the ball boys, and he'd take it upstairs. So one time, T.R. Brown goes, oh, I got to leave with this guy, T.R. Brown, who's a backup guard. He goes, I got to leave tickets for this guy. And he goes, okay, here, just fill this form out, and we'll leave them for him. So T.R. fills out the form, and on the envelope, you know, the envelope where you write, like, if I'm leaving tickets for you, I'd write, you know, last name Mason, first name Steve, you know, fill out a, you know, here's the date of the game.
Right,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
T.R. Brown writes on the envelope, man in the hat. And Vitti
man
goes,
in the hat?
Vitti goes, yeah, we need a name. He goes, no, it's they'll know. It's the man in the hat.
The man in the hat?
That's what he wrote. Vitti just walked away. Needless to say, the man in the hat did not get his tickets.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little generic, I think.
Man in the brown hat, I think is what the
man in hat.
Man in the brown hat. Go ahead and give it to him.
So I've got a nightmare last night. Momo claims it's because of Mercury being in retrograde, but I think that's a load of crap. So here's the dream. I'm at the Dodgers game tonight, and we are going to the Dodgers game tonight for Julio Urias bobblehead night, and everybody's going, you know, Jorge and Bergie and all of us. So I walk out of the game, and I have no idea where I parked. Like, I have – it could be any – direction.
Right.
Somewhere in that gigantic parking lot, I am parked, but I have no idea where it is.
Well, you know, there's a modern day solution to this problem.
I don't know how to do it. You're going to say drop a pin. I don't know how to drop a pin.
No, I don't either. The second you park your car, look up at the nearest, you know, all the lampposts are marked, like it'll say section K2, whatever.
Right.
Take a picture.
Yeah, Dave Singer, our former producer, was there one night, and it was a playoff game, and I had my car parked somewhere.
Yeah.
And all I knew was it was near a post.
Well, get in a habit of taking a picture of the post, one that has a letter and a number on it, and then you'll never have this issue.
Yeah, that works. And also, you know, if you use Waze, I don't know if it works on Google Maps, but if you use Waze, it tells you where your car is parked. You can actually
it
just
does?
Follow. Yeah.
Waze does?
Yeah. I always know where my car is parked because I open up my Waze app and it's right there.
Everybody always says you're a dumb, drop a pin. I don't know how to drop a pin. Yeah,
I don't know how to drop a pin either. Just take a picture.
You hold down on the map and then
right,
it says drop a pin.
A
it's that simple. It's really, there's no tutorial. It's you hold down
no,
on the picture.
That was by definition a
sure,
tutorial.
It is, but it doesn't take like, it's not a 45 second thing. It's a 5 second hold down your finger and press drop a pin.
That was a tutorial missive.
Drop a pin.
Somebody sent me a pin a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even know what to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Ask Bergie off the air. Otherwise, he's going to give you an on-air.
Well, Mason,
it's amazing you guys don't
understand
this.
How long does it take to take a picture?
It should take just a second, the last I checked.
Yeah, so that's
but,
what
like,
you
if you're down in that big lot, which is where I tend to, you know where I'm talking about, like along the Sunset lot?
Yeah.
There's no pictures.
No,
you can't take a picture.
Yo, all the lots are numbered with like those baseball lights.
Right, but mine says just big lot.
Yeah, no, just take a picture of the baseball light and you'll find it.
All I do is I walk around and I continue to press the unlock button. Unlock, unlock, yeah, unlock, 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 unlock.
Hit the panic button.
The panic button, exactly. So Dodgers only 2 games behind the Giants going into tonight.
You're hanging on to a pipe dream. They're 2 down with 6 to go.
What will you say if we're 1 game back tomorrow?
1 game back tomorrow, I'll come over to your side. But you've admitted if they're 3 back tomorrow, then you'll come to my side. The problem is I think both the Dodgers and the Giants are going to win tonight. Well, so they'll be 2 down with 5 to go.
I went and did a little work because they pay me to. And I know that Walker Buehler's throwing tonight for the Dodgers versus Yu Darvish. Now, the Giants are throwing their quote-unquote ace, Logan Webb, but he got lit up last week by San Diego. So maybe maybe he is tailing off a little bit. He's a young guy who's thrown a whole bunch of innings. Dodgers 3 against the Padres at home, and we know they're in free fall, and then 3 against Milwaukee, and they've already clinched it. Giants 3 at home against Arizona starting tonight, and then 3 at home versus the Padres. Giants lose 2 out of 6. Dodgers win 6 out of 6, and we are tied.
Right, but I don't think the Dodgers are going to win 6 out of 6.
I think we're sweeping out.
Interesting.
I think we're sweeping out. We're playing a bad team and a team that has nothing to play for.
Well, so are the Giants.
They're actually playing
two bad teams.
Two bad teams, yeah. Yeah.
Even worse.
By the way, a lot of people say, how are the Giants doing this? So I went back and looked. And this surprised me. The Giants are first in the National League in home runs. We are third. In runs scored, the Dodgers are first and the Giants are second. So we've scored more runs, but barely. Batting average, the Giants are second, and the Dodgers, we are seventh. And the Dodgers have an edge in pitching. We've got a 2.94 team ERA, and they've got a 3.29 ERA. So we've got a considerable advantage over pitching, but their offense and their defense have both been very good. I think their defense is one of the unsung reasons why the Giants are where they are. That's something that Farhan Zaidi, who's the GM of the Giants, brought up there to San Francisco from Andrew Friedman and the Dodgers, is the defense is fully half the game, and they've got a very good defensive team.
They do, and, you know, the difference to me is the Giants don't have a weakness. The Dodgers have a couple of them. The Dodgers have allowed more unearned runs than any team in the major leagues.
That's errors, right.
So defense. That's them just being sloppy. And number two, they've allowed more stolen bases than any other team. So you can attack the Dodgers that way. The Giants really don't have a weakness.
The Giants don't really have, unless I'm mistaken, Bergie, I don't think the Giants have got a guy that steals bases.
Not really. They don't really have, I mean, Lamont Wade Jr. can. But he's not. No, they don't really have a big, you know, base stealer like the
Padres. Well,
like
a lot of teams
did.
don't steal anyway.
No, it's against analytics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
some teams do.
It looks like Brandon Crawford's got 10, so he can run.
He's old. He's like 45.
But he's not going to be. He is like 45. He's been in the league forever. They've got a couple of those guys. I saw, is Brandon Belt hurt?
Yeah, he broke his wrist, I believe, so he's out indefinitely.
Yeah, he's got 29 homers for him, batting .274.
That's a significant loss for them.
Yeah, that is a big loss for them. So he's out indefinitely, which, you know, you don't root for injury, but you got to play through it.
Did you see who announced his retirement today, effective end of next season? Jaime Jarrín.
Yeah.
He's been he's basically a Spanish Vin Scully. He's been announcing Dodger games since 1959.
Yep.
And so it'll be his 64th season next year. And he says he'll retire after that.
So it'll be his farewell season.
Yeah, he's 86 in December.
That's what I think the farewell season is a cool thing. I think it's cool for players. I think it's cool for announcers.
Yeah, you don't get them in talk radio. You ain't getting a farewell
season. I would
season.
Like a farewell season. I'd like
you
a
won't
years
even get a
head,
farewell show.
You've already
I would
missed
like
your farewell
one
season.
One-year heads up. You're corporate, yeah. Greg. Can I get a one-year heads up on
no,
when I'm leaving?
Most
Here's
places,
your one-year heads up.
Most places won't even give you a farewell show.
Play every season like it's your last.
Yeah, I think you need to take the word season out of that sentence. Do every show like it's your last.
Yeah,
do you remember when we were doing the show on Spectrum?
Yeah.
And after the show one day, Scott McCarthy called us into his office and he said, "Hey, I got to tell you guys something. The simulcast is ending. As a matter of fact, today was the last one."
Yeah, no, it's true. By the way, that was a great show. They should bring that back. I've been saying for a long time, Spectrum should bring that back.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
I don't know. Somebody can work that. Scott McCarthy's back. He can do it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so Russell Westbrook, Lakers media day today. And I think this is the reason why I have a shadow of a doubt about this team. A shadow of a doubt. Here's Russell Westbrook on adjusting to new teammates.
Sometimes that is true.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you think you know. And as the season goes on, you get a chance to learn other guys, learn who they are, learn what they do. And, you know, with that is all the process, and I'm looking forward to that. That's the best part of the year, to be able to learn and understand about different players and what they like and what they don't like.
And here's Melo on chemistry.
That's the biggest thing that we have to get on board. You know, and chemistry comes. It's not forced. You know, that energy is not forced. So you have to let it take its course and let it play out. You know, we all got to do our part to kind of speed it up a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, that chemistry, man, is – the roster is nothing without that chemistry. It's just names on paper at that point.
And I think that's ultimately the reason why, as I said, I've got a shadow of a doubt. I mean, I'm really high on the team. I think it's going to be an unbelievably entertaining team to watch. I've seen this Russell Westbrook movie before. I saw him flame out with James Harden. I saw him flame out of Washington. I mean, is it fair to say he is prickly as a teammate?
No. Here's why. When he was in, he's prickly to the media. He doesn't like
them. Why didn't it work with James Harden? When at the beginning they said, no, it's great. We'll put it together. It's going to be great together.
I think that the reason it didn't work with James Harden is that Harden's not really an assist guy, although Harden did have 1 year where I think he had double-digit assists.
Right.
Russ is. So Harden's going to shoot most of the time.
Right.
Russ is going to go where the ball is most of the time. I think that with the Lakers, it's going to be more reminiscent of like when he played in Oklahoma City, when he had Durant and Harden with him and they went to the finals. That was just too much for the other team to guard.
But is it fair to say that when he went into that Houston situation with James Harden, that they both said all the right things? Chemistry, get together, play on the same page, all that stuff was said.
Yeah, but I don't think they had enough help. They didn't have any big guys.
But there was a meltdown personally between the two.
Right, but do you think they have a meltdown if Anthony Davis is on that team and all they got to do is
I mean,
score?
I don't know. I don't know.
The meltdowns happen when you don't win.
Well, this team's going to win. This team's going to win. I mean, as I said earlier, the over-under is 52.5. So I think it's fair to say this is going to be a 50-win team. I do think that there's going to be some sacrifice that is required.
Has to be.
Because everybody's not necessarily going to get theirs.
Yeah. All the numbers are coming down. For the big three, their points, their rebounds, their assists, because there's got to be enough to go around. But, you know, Anthony Davis talked about the fact that he's ready to play more center than forward.
Yeah.
He brought that up a couple of times today.
Which is great.
And
their most effective lineups have Anthony Davis at the five.
So I think it's going to be something to watch.
All right. I'm curious from Lakers fans. We've played a lot of sound from Media Day. You heard it here on 710 ESPN, the home of the Los Angeles Lakers. I still almost say world champion Los Angeles Lakers every time I say Los Angeles Lakers because I got in the habit of that. But as you look at this roster and as you've heard these guys talk, what is your biggest concern? Or do you have one? Do you think this is just like Ireland, this is just rock solid, no hitches, gonna run straight to the finals? Or what is your concern? I've stated mine. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. And also, The Athletic reported, and Bill Oram is a great reporter, reported that the starting lineup will be, and I think he was in firm terms there, Russ, Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza, LeBron, and AD. That's his projection for a starting lineup. There's a lot of love out there for THT. There's a lot of love out there for Kent Bazemore. I actually love Bazemore. I think he defends really well and shoots really well. But if you were drawing it up, what would your starting lineup look like? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Mason Ireland, this is 710 ESPN.